Right. We've got a bit of a slightly different thing this week in that I appreciate normally we have a reading, and I'm going slightly against the grain this week. I'm going to do a video instead. But before we go into the video, I'm going to start with a bit of a pop quiz question to get you all going. Okay? So we're going to do a little bit of competition. Left-hand side of the room versus right-hand side of the room. We'll do alternate answering of this pop quiz question. I will start with the right-hand side of the room because that's got my mother-in-law on it, so you need to keep her sweet. Okay, so the quiz question is, can you name the 12 disciples? Nice and easy, hopefully. So we'll start with the right-hand side of the room. Who's gonna go first? Anyone? Simon Peter, he's top of my list. There you go. Oh, you've gone early. We've gone early. There's an easy answer for you, everyone, on the left-hand side of the room. Judas. Oh, well done, Daniel. Really good answer there. Go on, Jane. Any others? James. Yeah, that's normally a safe bet. Oh, we've gone early again. We've gone early. There's another safe bet over there. Any? Oh, Stephen, no, not Stephen. Any others? Andrew? Thaddeus, yeah, I hear from the back. Let's just go freestyle now. Any more? There was two Jameses. Yeah, James, son of Zebedee, and James, son of Alphaeus. Any others? We're missing a few. John, yeah. Do you? Yeah. We've got John. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that we're missing. Matthew, yeah. There's another Simon, yeah, I heard that. Simon the Zealot. We had Thomas. Not Paul. I haven't got Paul. But two more. Luke. Oh, that's the right answer for today, Anne. Nathaniel, who's also called Bartholomew, but we'll come on to that in a little bit. And one more. Nathaniel's mate. Shall I tell? No, not Dave. Philip. Nathaniel's mate, Philip, who was also Andrew's mate. Right, so, normally the Bible references to Bartholomew as a disciple, but in John, he's referred to as Nathaniel. So he's somewhat of an outsider. He's a little bit different, so a little bit of a forgotten man. He's rarely mentioned in the Bible. In fact, he's actually only mentioned in John, as I said. So we only actually hear about him when he's really first called to Jesus as being called Nathanael. He's then later mentioned when Peter goes fishing after the resurrection. So why the obscurity, I hear you ask? Obviously, Nathanael being a fantastic name for anyone who wishes to name that child. So scholars have concluded that Nathanael and Bartholomew are the same. Actually, the reason for this is that Nathanael's father was called Ptolemy. And so in Hebrew, son of Ptolemy would be Bartholomew, which is why he's known as Bartholomew. So it's pretty much his surname in modern-day perspective. So it's the first of the stories that I mentioned that we're going to look at today where Nathanael is called to Christ. We're going to have that through a video format. It's going to come as a clip from The Chosen. Now, I don't know if anyone's heard of or have seen The Chosen. It's a kind of modern-day depiction of Jesus and his ministry, effectively. Now, I'll be honest, it's not professing to be an exact kind of depiction of the New Testament, but if you want a literal reading for this morning, then it's in John 1, 43-51. But it does aim to be a kind of a fair reflection of the scriptures. So hopefully you find it relatively enlightening. Now, I appreciate it's going to be a bit of a long clip, so bear with it. But hopefully it'll be interesting. And because it's quite a long clip, my glamorous assistant is going to come up. Yes? No, not my mother-in-law. And we're going to distribute some popcorn. So bed in, enjoy yourselves. And hopefully the technology works.
I need the seawater for the cement, Leontes.
It will take 3 days.
You can't stop construction for 3 days. Is it because I'm Jewish?
No, Nathaniel, it's not because you're Jewish.
I've been telling you. And anyone I can get to listen. I even told the prince. I need that salt water or the cement won't set to full strength.
Seawater's heavy. It's hard to move.
Understand?
Plans are hard to draw. Bedrock hard to reach. It's all hard. But your incompetence is making it harder.
Careful.
Hey, I'm just telling it like it is.
3 days, Nathaniel. You're in no position to make demands. You're lucky enough to have
this job.
That's
why I have to demand what I need, Leontes. Do you know how hard I've worked to earn a Roman commission? As a Jew.
You're a child that skipped the line. The men don't respect you for that.
Skipped the line? Just because I was smart enough to go to school instead of getting mud.
20 men show up every day. Who cares what they think?
I care. They need to share a vision.
They need to each do their jobs. The day laborer, the craftsman, the foreman, and the architect.
Yes. In concert with me.
Who do you think you are? I am the foreman here. You think that if everyone would just do it your way, that it will all turn out?
I do.
Well, people have their own ideas.
You're ruined. Do you hear me? It's over!
This was done for you. Blessed are you. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. Israel, the Lord is one. The Lord is one. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. This was done for you. Do not hide your face from me. Do you see me?
Daniel! Hey, Nathaniel, it's me, Philip. Nathaniel. Nathaniel. Nathaniel.
Hey. Hey. Are you sick? What's going on?
Philip?
Yeah. Why are you in bed? What happened, my friend? Are you okay?
Sure.
Hey. We need to get you some water. I am truly sorry, my friend.
No one was killed.
It could have been worse. I could be in prison. Still proud of you. I've lived through you at times. You know that?
Through me?
Yes.
I'm living through you, man.
I mean it.
What part?
Going to classes endlessly. Dealing with bureaucrats day in and day out. Skip that part. I mean the part about building something with your own hands. I had a calling. I don't regret it, but while you were in the city being validated by top professionals, I was in the wilderness. It's a lot of yelling. I don't deny occasionally being jealous that you had actual physical evidence to show for your efforts.
Pile of rubble.
You don't know what your impact was or will be.
I don't have a good idea what it'll be. A cold day in Gehenna before they hire another Jew.
I thought that I knew where God was putting me to.
Yeah. So what are you doing? I thought you were out making enemies all over the place.
I'm about to make a whole lot more enemies all over the place. John sent me to someone new.
You sure know how to pick him.
He's not just anyone.
That's what you said about the baptizer.
And I was right. But this is more. This is who the baptizer has been preparing us for. Nathaniel. He's the one.
The one?
The one who Moses foretold and the prophets said would come.
The what?
The one. Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph.
Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?
Come and see.
Oh, little dump on a craggy hilltop.
I'm serious.
No paved roads, no public buildings. They barely have a synagogue.
You can't. You really can't.
Hey, I'm just telling it like it is. Why can't I do that?
Because you're mean.
The families, illiterate day laborers and peasants, by the way, sleep under the same roof as their livestock.
Listen to me.
Honestly, Philip, saying the one is a Nazarene is practically heresy.
Just come and see. What? Gonna be late for work?
Well, that's dark. So dark.
Your whole life, you've wanted to serve God. To meet the Son of God, the King of Israel. I promise you will not regret it. And if you do, I'll refund your misery. I know you. You don't mess around. You will want to join him. He's like no rabbi who ever has been or will be.
I've never seen you talk like this. I'm still hung up on the Nazareth of it all.
Come and see.
Rabbi.
Well, this is a good night. You know who stands beside you there?
This is my friend, Nathaniel.
Yes, the truth teller.
I'm sorry?
Man is often deceitful. And Israel began with Jacob, a bit of a deceiver, yes?
Yes.
But one of the great things about you is you are a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit.
What did you say about me? What is this? How do you know me?
I have known you long before Philip called you to come and see. Don't look at him. Look at me. When you were in your lowest moment, and you were alone, I did not turn my face from you. I saw you under the fig tree.
I knew it.
Well, that didn't take long.
He doesn't mess around.
Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You are going to see many greater things than that. Like Jacob, you are going to see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's me, by the way.
Yeah, I got that.
Good. I know you like to be clear.
Hello? There we go. I'm back on. Excellent. Hopefully you're not all asleep. So, I imagine each of us will probably draw various different nuanced conclusions from that story, but I just wanted to touch on a few of the key takeaways that I had from it. I'm going to do this using some of the quotes from the clip. So the first of the quotes is, as is up there, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? A little dump on a craggy hilltop." Not exactly a shy, tasteful comment from Nathaniel, that one. Nathaniel himself was from Cana, which was itself not a particularly remarkable village, nor particularly far from Nazareth, as you can see from the map behind me. His disdain for Nazareth came from a Judean prejudice of Galileans, being a rough and uncultured and uneducated bunch. Being called a Nazarene was pretty much the modern day equivalent of being called a country bumpkin. Worse still, a Roman garrison was stationed at Nazareth, meaning most of its inhabitants were also preconceived as being traitorous collaborators. So how could the Son of God, Nathanael's Messiah, come from a place that he would have seen as a seedy, deprived backwater? This type of societal arrogance, pride, and perhaps self-importance are vices that I think is pretty easy for us to still slip into today, much like Nathaniel. Have you ever thought or said something like, we don't want our children interacting with people from that area? Keep a wide berth of that homeless person on the street and make sure to not look them in the eye. My opinion is far more valuable than theirs because I work in the city or I have a degree. These type of preconceptions are exactly the kind of barriers that Jesus teaches us to try and remove. In fact, he teaches of a countercultural, upside-down kingdom, where the least will become the first, leaders are in fact servants, and kindness and compassion are exalted over power, wealth, and prestige. We must have humility to listen to all of those around us and those under our stewardship. So, the next line, which I personally found pretty impactful, was when Nathaniel is sitting under that fig tree and he cries out to God, "Do you see me? Do you see me?" We saw that early on in the clip, Nathaniel's aspiration was to build great things for God. And that had become a kind of a justification to allow his arrogance to grow out of control. Now, some of you will know I work in the construction industry. I'm a civil engineer. And this is something that I still see in the industry today. There's quite a lot of, it's quite a male-dominated industry. And so there's quite a lot of bravado that goes around. Now, that can go into meetings where you call out other people's design work and you say that they're not good enough. Or you look at their calculations and you say, nope, they're not accurate, that's not going to work. This kind of biblical theme of cities also links into a wider context where we have the Garden of Eden being the biblical city with the tree of knowledge at its centre and rivers coming out. Cities historically, particularly the city of Cain, for instance, early on in the Old Testament, was a place where Cain went to hide after what he did to Abel and put the walls up to keep people out and keep himself safe inside. Now, this kind of arrogance and self-importance is where and why Philip turns to Nathaniel and calls him rude, actually. We sometimes need to remind ourselves of not losing sight of the bigger picture of what we're aiming for. Nathaniel was aiming to build something great for God, and he got caught in the detail. It's too easy to get caught up in perhaps policies or plans, some kind of gossip that goes around, maybe even the monotony of upkeep, particularly with the church. Like Nathaniel, we need to be constantly seeking to remind ourselves of the greater architect's plans here, Jesus' plan to bring people to God through him. This happened to Nathaniel when he reached rock bottom. He sat under that fig tree and he cries out to God for help. I don't know about you. I find that it's actually probably when I'm failing that is often the time when God is able to come back into my life and into my heart. Sometimes we put up so many self-protecting layers that we actually keep his grace out. It's only when we realise that we're perhaps failing that we let God back in. So, a word of encouragement. If you're experiencing some kind of failure, whether it be professionally, in yours or your loved one's health, or in your personal life, I just want you to remember that God is still there. And as he did for Nathaniel, he still sees you under that fig tree. And he will provide a purpose and fulfillment when the time is right. The bit that's tricky about that statement is the time is right. We are impatient as humans. We want things to happen and happen quickly. And that's only getting worse with modern day society. You can literally tap and it's there next day. But we have to have patience with our faith. So the last line that I wanted to focus on this morning was where Jesus, rather ironically, turns to Nathaniel and says, "Well, that didn't take long, did it? Because I said I saw you under the fig tree, you believe?" This is probably the main takeaway I got from the clip, and hopefully I can let you go away from it today. Nathaniel was a man of action. When he got the gut feeling, or he was convicted to do something, in this case that he was being confronted by the Son of God, he acted quickly and decisively, and he took that step of faith towards him. Now, I'm not suggesting by that statement that there isn't a time for wise consideration. That is absolutely key to the church. But I think we also need to remember that we believe that we have God in our corner. He's already got the plan set out for us, whether we know it or not. So with that, we can have confidence in taking action, whether it be praying for a friend who you feel needs God, bringing up your faith during a conversation. You might be out and about in the pub. I find that's quite often sometimes where people are willing to listen to you when they're a little bit inebriated. Or financially, if you need to support someone, we don't need to be shy about our faith, but instead we need to be compassionately confrontive with it. Now, I often get the mickey taken out of me for this phrase when I go round to my in-laws. But I really love people to leave here today feeling that they have the confidence of Nathaniel to be able to just crack on. And I know Nikki will be smiling and laughing to herself when I say that. Crack on. Get out there and do whatever it is for you. Whatever God has placed on your heart, I just want you to be encouraged that you have the confidence and the ability to do that because you've got him in your corner.